The title of our message today is Learning How to Praise the Lord in Troubling Times. The Bible tells us that all those who have named the name of Christ, those who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and are saved, need to praise the Lord continually. That's an area where I think most of us fall short. I'm not saying we don't praise Him. I'm telling you that we don't praise Him enough. That's what the Bible tells us, and you're going to find out why today. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the writer reminds us, he says, "Therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God." And what is that? It is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, the name of Jesus, the only name whereby we must be saved. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And in Psalm 119 and verse 164, David tells us this. He said, "Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments," meaning His Word. Now I want you to notice something. There's a difference between praising God and giving thanks to God. We give thanks unto God, which is usually because He has blessed us with some things that He has brought into our life, and we're responding to those gifts and blessings by thanking Him, which is good. Then there's praising Him. Giving of praise is honoring and adoring God for who He is, not for what He gives us. Two different things, and we're going to see that today. And we're going to look at the second part, the giving of praise. The question is, when are we to praise God? We are to praise God when we're going through good times, and when we're going through troubling times. Praising God does not come natural. It has to be learned. And this is where you're going to learn it. In the church that teaches you the Bible. When you go home and you read the Bible. And you apply it to your lives. It will start to come out the way it never came out before. So we have to learn how to incorporate praise to God during any situation we find ourselves in. Not only the good situations, but also the bad. I'm not saying we should praise Him for the bad stuff. We should praise Him that He allowed us to go through it, because He's going to give us an upgrade. He's going to go and He's going to do something in us to get us to the next level of our Christian walk. If you remember, the Apostle Paul said that. He teaches us that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, "Not that I speak in regard for need." In the Philippian epistle, he's thanking the Philippians for sending some money to him while he was in prison for the support of the ministry. And he says, "I'm not writing this letter because I want you to send more money." No, he says, "For I have learned to be that in any state I find myself or situation I find myself, I am to be content." That's what God says. We are to be content. Whatever you're going through today, tomorrow, the next day, the rest of your life, be content, because God's in charge. Just have a better perspective of knowing what God's doing in your life as far as God letting you allow you to go through that. And the Apostle Paul tells us not only the way he was, but how we can be like he was. He knows where to go. He knew the resources that were available to him, and so do you and I. It's the Word of God. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. He says, "All Scripture, everything in this book right here, in the book you're holding in your hand, is given by inspiration of God. It was God-breathed. It came from Almighty God. This is a revelation of God to His people here on this earth. And it is profitable. It will always bring blessings to us when we read it and study it and apply it. It is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, teaching us what salvation is, teaching us what sanctification is, teaching us what justification is, and so on and so forth. These are words and events that God has in His Word for us, so that we understand what He did. For reproof, to show us where we're going wrong. For correction, how to get straight. And for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that, then, listen to what he calls them, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. Truly means thoroughly equipped. The moment you said yes to Jesus, and I said yes to Jesus, I was downloaded a whole new program, and so were you. And there's a lot of things in that program I don't know yet, and you don't know either. But eventually, as we go on, God starts to open it up, and it starts to take root in us. He also reminds us in the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, about the things in the Old Testament, because a lot of times people are ignorant, Christians, God's people, are ignorant of the Old Testament, because they have nobody to teach them. They go to church, they hear a few little sermonettes, this, that, and the other thing, and then they go home, and they're no better than when they came in, because they weren't fed the Word of Almighty God. Paul says, for whatever things were written aforetime, meaning in the past, to us, all of this is aforetime. This was written in the past for us. So it's profitable for us. They were written for our learning. Learning. You see, the word learning goes throughout the whole Bible. God wants His people to learn. To learn the Word of God so that we could learn about Him. And if you want to know, there's a prayer in Colossians chapter 1 where God says, when Paul says, when you pray, you want to pray for understanding. You want to pray for wisdom of God's ways, of the gospel, salvation, and everything that He has here. So we need to ask Him. It's not going to come to us because of our intellectual prowess. It's going to come to us by the Spirit of God. Amen. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, here it is, might have hope. What are we looking for today? We want to learn how to praise the Lord in troubling times. And where are we going to get the information? From me? I don't think so. It's in the book. I'm just going to point you to where it's at. You read it, you study it, you apply it, and you will have the victory God promises through His precious Word. So that the patience, the comfort, and the script in the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in nothing else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learn about Him from the Scriptures, not from people. Too many people know Jesus only because that they heard about Him from people in the past, wherever, whether it was people or on the TV, the radio, computer, or whatever. That's why they're confused. God's people out there, a lot of them are confused because they're not in the Scriptures and they're not being taught what the Scripture says. So you want to make sure, after I'm gone, that you continue on to go ahead and learn the book. Pastor Frank will do that until he's gone. And then if the Lord should tarry, then somebody else will come. But if we're looking for the right man, God's man, God will send him. And he'll replenish what he has taken away. Now we know that Paul was able to praise God in troubling times because we have an example of that. When you read about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts and the missionary journeys, you find out everywhere he went, he almost got beat up. Everybody was out for him. In chapter 16, where you meet Timothy and you meet the beginning of the Philippian church, we see Paul was going around and doing all these things, went down into Athens and all around there. But in Philippi, he was there and he cast a demon out of a girl, a young virgin, or a young lady, I should say. And she was making money for her masters. Paul got tired of it because she was following him around and pointing people and saying to the people different things. These are the men of the Most High God. And he said, I had enough of that. I don't need the devil's witness. I have my witness for the Lord. And he cast them out. They ended up taking him to court, their court, threw him into prison. But they beat him up and they hit him with rods and things like that, him and Silas. And so they were in the dungeon, in the deepest part, in the middle of the dungeon. Their feet in stocks. And that's not a comfortable position. Their backs are all swollen and broken open and stuff. And he was there. And all of a sudden, at midnight, I put myself in there. If that was me, I would have probably lost my Christianity. I'd be so mad because of what is going on. But Paul and Silas wasn't. Why? Because they learned. They learned how to praise God in those troubling times. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, notice what it says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang, here it is, praises unto God. Beaten up, bloody, thrown into prison, in stocks, immovable, very uncomfortable, unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And now notice the results. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. God noticed it. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The whole thing was shaken. So that's where they were. And that's what they were doing. And so there, Paul and Timothy show, or Paul and Silas show us what is going on. And computer's acting up here. That's enough of that. I'll have to give the computer the lessons that I gave my printer. Flying lessons. Just kidding. 1 minute, I'll get back online here where I need to be. And that ain't it. There. So how did Paul and how did Silas be able to praise the Lord in that condition? They learned to believe God and to stand on His promises that He has made in the Word of God by positioning their hearts and soul on God and not on their circumstances at all times. Let's look at another example. And that's the crux of our whole message is coming with this other example we're going to see. And what we can expect when we start to praise the Lord in our troubling times that come to us. Today we are going to look at an Old Testament king. His name is Jehoshaphat. And he's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, as I told you to turn before. We're going to see that when troubling times came to him, he looked to God for guidance and for direction. He knew God and what God would do if he came to him for help. So he did the things to allow God to work in his life. You see, he had God's word. He was the king. The word of God was on scrolls and stuff like that. He had it and he believed it and he learned it. He learned it from a little child like most of the Jewish people back there did. One of the things he might have learned came from Psalm 27 and verses 4 to 8. Listen to what David said in this psalm. He says this, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. He says, I want to be in the presence of God all the time. Amen. The presence of God is with us all the time. In the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have. The advantage what we have. David had to go to the tabernacle because the temple wasn't built yet. The Holy of Holies, where the Lord was. The Lord is with us. Within us. He dwells in us. For in the time of trouble, he said, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That reminds me of another psalm. Go back in chapter 40, Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. Listen to what David said there. He said, He also, God also brought me out of a horrible pit. This is how he got saved. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. David, what kind of song? Praise unto my God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So there it is, the beginning where we could praise God comes in mightily when we accept Christ as our Savior. And then going back to chapter 27 to finish it off, David said this, And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes. What are you going to sing, David? I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, Seek my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, I will seek. God gave him directions. When you're having problems, come to me. God gives you and me directions. When we have our problems, come to me.
Thank you, God.
Amen for that, that's for sure. So let's see how this king in the Old Testament found also how he could praise the Lord in troubling times and expect what the Lord has promised him when he does that. Turn, you're in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. I think I better get there. I want you to turn back to chapter 14, first of all. Why? Because we need some background on this king. Where he came from. What his family was like. Because that means a lot. So, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we will see his daddy. His father was king before he was. And when his father passed away, naturally he became the next king. As a king of Judah, or any king at all that was good, he had a responsibility before people and then accountability before God. Just like you and I. We have that also as God's people and representatives here on this earth. So let's look at the background of this king. In verses 2 to 5, we read about his father. Chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. We're looking at the king that were... His father was... His name is Asa. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. When he commanded Judah, the people, you do the same thing I'm doing. We're getting right with God once and for all, is what he's getting at. To seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet. They finally had some peace because they got rid of the sin that was in their lives. So he was a good king. What does that mean? It simply means he was honorable and he was approved, not only by the people, but also by God to serve as God's king. And why? Because he took away the idolatrous idols that they were worshiping and had set up. And he commanded the people to seek the Lord, just like he was. He was the example. Follow me as I follow the Lord, Paul says. So he was a good king and he was teaching the people what they should do. Now how come? It just doesn't start there. But watch this, because this is important. It's important because if daddy did this, sonny's going to do this. What's he going to do? Look at verse 9. Chapter 14, verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them, coming up against the Judah and Asa here, with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came to Marisha. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. I can't even imagine what an army of a million people would look like to people who are coming down and saying, "Oh my God." And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord," notice what he did. He cried out to the Lord his God. He cried out to the Lord his God. He said, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you." Now remember, his son is listening to this stuff, and he's being taught this stuff. Verse 12. "So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." So what did we see? We saw here, he sought the Lord through prayer and obedience. It was God's will for him to go up against these people, because he was going to do that miracle, which he did, and it's written down in the Word of God, for our instruction. Because our puny little problems are nothing for the Lord. They may be major for us, but they're men. How did he do? He sought through prayer and obedience. He was resting in his God. The result, the Lord answered his prayer. He answered his prayer. Now, let's look at his son. Let's see how Sonny Boy grew up and what happened to him, and did he learn anything? We'll see if he learned a lesson on how to praise the Lord in troubling times. Now we go to chapter 20. Stop that. It's like a hurricane over here. Yeah, come on. Okay. We're going to see four things that Jehoshaphat did to learn the lesson on how to praise God during troubled times. The first one we see in verses 1 and 2. Because we see here a troubling time coming and unfolding before him. Look at verse 2, or 1 and 2. "It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, 'A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazazon Tamar, or in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi.'" So we see this starting to unfold before him. And it's important that we know these things, because we're going to see how when he applied the same principle from the Word of God, God answered the prayer and delivered him. He delivered him. He started to clean them up also of their idolatry. Look back at chapter 19. And look at starting at verse 3. Now this is what Jehoshaphat did. Now his father took the idols and he got rid of the idols and stuff, but not all of them were taken away. There's still more. And the people you would think would say, "Hey, this isn't right. We shouldn't be doing it." No, they continued to do it. Look at verse 3, chapter 19. "Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God." That's exactly what his father did. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. And he goes on to say, "Then he set judges in the land throughout the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, 'Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now therefore, Let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, no taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversy, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. Serve the Lord with all of your heart, the Word of God tells us. And fear the Lord. Trust Him. In reverence Him. Give Him the respect and the love and the honor that He so truly deserves because of what He has done for us. Then he heard the news and fear came into him. Fear came into him. Fear can paralyze us. We see that in the scriptures. It said the fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear can paralyze us. Why? Because it takes us away from trusting in the Lord. And it defeats us and stops us from going forward with Him. So what did King Jehoshaphat do to overcome this problem that he sees here? He did what his dad taught him to do, which is seek God through prayer and trusting God for the outcome. We ask God for something that we need, we think we need, and He will answer us in His way and in His time. So let's look at the first thing that Jehoshaphat did, and that was to seek God. Look at verse 3. And by the way, we had sing a hymn explaining this. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Look at verse 3 of chapter 20. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? And he goes on to say, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us like sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. The word save there means deliver. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude, that it is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Verse 13. Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. It was a whole nation affair. So he didn't let fear grip him and get him out of the way and doubt God. Instead, he prayed and he fasted and he led others to do so. He goes over the entire, if you notice, he went over the entire solution there or situation there with the Lord. And that's the way we should pray if we have a problem. Can't pay bills, put them out on the bed, pray over them, ask God to help you to pay your bills, or pay this, pay that, do this, do that, whatever. Then he exalted God for his sovereign power. You're the one who took us out of Egypt. All the credit went to the Lord. And he was recalling God's grace and mercy in giving them the land and the temple. He was thanking the Lord for that. And he reminded God. You could remind God in your prayers of what he has said and what you're standing on. He reminded God of his promise to deliver them if they would seek him. He and the people humbled themselves. They came before the presence of the Lord, which was in the temple on the outside. And they prayed. They bowed their heads and admitted. Jehoshaphat admitted, I'm the king, but I'm weak. I'm weak and I'm submitting myself wholly to God, wholly to you. For you know what to do. And I'm looking for your guidance. Doesn't this remind you of someone else? Reminds you of the Apostle Paul. At least it does me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul says this, "And lest I shall be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord for 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." When you are weak and you realize it, then you become strong when you come to God. "Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure," Paul says. That thorn could be jabbing me, could be causing me all kinds of problems, he said, "but I take pleasure in that because it's from God. Take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, I'm doing it for the Lord. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's how Paul saw it. That's how you and I should see it also. So the question would be, what do we do? What do we do when we are in a situation where there's no way out as far as we know? We need to do what we've just read about Jehoshaphat did and what Paul did. You see, they didn't look for a solution. They looked for Christ. They came before him and told him what was going on in their life, and they believed that God would help them. Do you believe God will help you? You should. He will help you. He has promised to help you and me. In fact, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, you know, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's the results. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the principle you see with Jehoshaphat. When he came before God, relying thoroughly upon him. So we need to do what Paul is telling us to do in the scripture, what Jehoshaphat is going through here, to seek the Lord through prayer, and to praise him, thank him, and everything else that we possibly could. In Psalm 34:15, remember what he said. He said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon us, on the righteous." And we're righteous. We're righteous in Christ. God sees us as righteous before his throne. If we didn't have righteousness, we would never be able to stand before him. But Jesus took care of that. "And his ears are open to our cry." God's listening. So the first thing that we saw here is he sought God. The second thing he is going to do, he's going to listen to God. When we pray to God, do we just rattle off the prayers? Or do we wait for God to answer us through the scriptures? Just don't go and drop the prayer list to God and say, "Here, take care of these." Pray out of a heart that wants God to help them. that glory can be given to the Lord, not only through us, but for the one that we're praying for, whether it's salvation, health, or whatever help they might need. So the second thing is, he listened to God. Look at verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you." There's a man that came and said, "I have a message from you from God." And he told him, and he's telling him this here. He's answering Jehovah's prayer, Joshua's prayer, Jehoshaphat's prayer, I should say. And he's answering his prayer to another guy who's a brother, and told him this. He said, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, for thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed," meaning discouraged, "because of this great multitude, for the battle," here's the classic, "for the battle is not yours, but God's." Underline it, highlight it, circle it, do whatever. That is gold right there. That's a wow verse. Because now we understand what God's saying. We're not in this alone. We're definitely not in this alone. So he chose to speak to this Levite here. And God said to him, "Fear not and trust in him." Trust in God. Why? Because God has a plan. What do you mean? Well, you look through here. We just read verse 15, go to 16. He said, "Here's my plan. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Oh, listen to that. Million men army out there. Oh, you don't have to fight there. You just take a seat and watch. "Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Christian, do you believe that the Lord is with you? You should. He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there with you for everything that goes on in your life. Even when you stub your toe." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Do you realize how many times God has to tell us, meaning His people, Old Testament, not to fear? There's a whole bunch of them all throughout the Word of God. You see, even the Apostle Paul told us, he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." He's always there for us. Always. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, listen to what the writer of Hebrews said. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Stop buying things. Be content. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Then he goes on to say, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" God is for us. Who can be against us? And even in the Old Testament, when Moses had the people on the banks of the River Jordan before they were to go over, he told them this in Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them." That's the people that were in the land that they were going to conquer and inhabit the land. "For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you."
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The third thing he did was to believe God. Look at verse 20. "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and ye shall be established." The word established there means you shall be strengthened. You shall be strengthened. Believe. How are we going to be strengthened? Believe His prophets. Believe the Word. And you shall prosper. Believing God's Word brings us strength to stand. It always does. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 46. That will be to your right. Psalm 46. Listen to what he says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Think about this. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be removed. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. What a picture of what's going to happen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Think about this. That's what Selah means. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has made desolations in the earth? He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think about this. All right, let's go back. 2 Chronicles. When I say he believed God, he believed what His Word is saying. So when we say we believe God, we're saying what God is saying in His Word right here. What does it do? It brings us strength. That's what we just read here in Psalm 46. That the psalmist wrote to the people of God to know if they turn to Him, He will give them the strength that they need to do or what they need to do. And also, not only give us strength, but it will prosper us. And that means to give us victory in whatever battle we're fighting in our head and in our heart. Remember, this was said about Joshua. When the Lord spoke to Joshua, when Joshua was taken over for Moses, He said this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may do and observe according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success." The Word of God in our heart, in our mind, and out of our mouth. That's what will bring us success in the realm of the Christian walk. So God's Word is given to be believed and to be obeyed. Nothing else. Because it does everything that He said it will do. It's how we please Him. Remember Hebrews 11:6? It says, but without faith, without belief, believing God's Word, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is God. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Seek Him. That's what we need to do. In Psalm 119, in verse 9, the psalmist wrote, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, unto thy word." Verse 11, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The Word is everything to us. And that's what God is showing us here. And part of that Word is to praise God. The Word is... the only way you and I know how wicked our heart is through the Word of God. You realize that? Because it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what Jeremiah said. Or the writer of Hebrews, for the word is God, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Jeremiah said, the heart is wicked and desperately wicked and sinless and sinful. Only God knows that what lies within our heart. That's why it's so good for us to have the Lord examine us when we get down on our knees and say, Lord, I confess my sins, this and that. And if there's anything I'm missing, anything at all, because it can get lost down in there, bring it up so I can confess it and forsake it. And I can go on with you. The fourth thing he did was praise the Lord. Look at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who would praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When we are right with the Lord, praising him in all situations comes pretty easy. Jehoshaphat taught the people to praise the Lord. It's teaching us too, by the way, bringing it to our remembrance that this is what we need to do. He and the people sang praises unto the Lord, facing this million-man army out there, which God said, get a good seat and watch. They sang praises continually in the face of the Lord. But you notice what went first before the Lord went? Praise. Before the Lord started his action, praise came from the people of God. Praising God is a special privilege God has given to you and to me and to all his people throughout the world. Remember what David said in Psalm 51 in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We have the privilege given to us in our day and time to praise the Lord and to come before him through Christ. And that's the only way we can come through is through Christ. When we are told that we can offer sacrifices, sacrifices from our lips, not animal, from our lips. In Hebrews 13:15 it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Here it is, continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. When is the last time we praised God for the name of Jesus? The name of God that he gave to Jesus, the name Jesus, it means Jehovah is salvation. It talks all about our redemption. But not many of God's people are praising him because they don't believe that he's going to answer their prayers and help them, so they won't obey it. Kind of sounds weird, but this is could be in the very bottom of the barrel of Christian walk right here. I think all of us realize, if you're in the book, even a little bit, you understand that God loves us. God will never leave us. God is there. We just need to learn how to trust him. What he says, he will do. The fifth thing we see is the results for what he did. Look at verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. You see, it was the enemy that was defeated, not the people of God. Remember the way Jehoshaphat dealt with this problem when he saw all these people and heard about all these people come? First thing he did is he sought God. Second thing, he listened to God. Third thing, he believed God. Fourth thing, he praised God. And the result was victory from God. So these are the things that you and I need to latch on to help us to praise the Lord more and more in our lives. So if you don't know what to do, you don't know what God requires of it, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You don't want to fail this. You want to be able to incorporate more praise. Like David said, 7 times. We'll be lucky if we praise Him 2 times during the day. And we miss those blessings that God has for us. So the more we praise Him, the less we're thinking about ourselves. When we go ahead and learn to praise God in our troubling times, our focus is off our problems and on the Lord, the only one who can do anything about the situation that we're on. He directs our focus and He goes where it needs to be, directs it to where it needs to be, and that is truly on Him. So we are encouraged to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter jumps in. Peter reminds us of who we are. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, God is calling out to the whole world for them to look to Him. Isaiah 45:22 says this: look unto Me and be ye saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn to Myself, the word has gone out of My mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to Me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To Him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against Him. The day of accountability is coming. Therefore, to incorporate more praise into our lives, no matter what the situation is, we need to find ourselves, or the situation we find ourselves in, we need to do what Psalm 145 verse 1 says. Now let me read it to you. The psalmist says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness and shall sing of Thy righteousness. After hearing all of this, how many times shall we praise the Lord? As many as often. You remember what we started off with? Psalm 119, 164. Psalmist, 7 times a day I praise the Lord. Because of Thy righteous judgment, great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for the reminder, Lord, of where we might be lacking in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for showing us how much praise means to You, because it takes everything off of us and puts it on You, our focus. And that's where You want us. You want us as close as possible to You as we possibly can. Lord, I pray that through this message today, that You'll be honored and glorified as Your people begin to praise You more and more for who you are. And thanking you for the word which explains who you are. And that what you want to do for us to help us. But because of our sinful natures, Lord, it's so hard for us to come close. But I thank you. Thank you that we have the power to say no to that sinful nature. And that we could incorporate the praises of God in our lives through our lips and through our life. So Father, use us. Use us this day, this coming week, this month, for your glory. Help us so that we may be strengthened in the faith. And that we may have the mindset. We have the mind of Christ. Let us use it. Like the Apostle Paul did in his troubling times. And King Jehoshaphat has in his troubling times. And what is available for us when we go through our troubling times. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much. And you want us to know you to such a degree that is beyond our imagination. So, Lord, thank you so much. May we glorify you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to have the Lord's Supper. I remember this time. How are you doing? I've been harping a lot lately about how important this is to God's people, the Lord's Supper. We just got done studying about the Passover in the Old Testament and how it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ and His shedding of His blood. When we come together here, this is in remembrance. And the Passover was to be done in remembrance every year for the Jewish people. And they had that all messed up. We have this Lord's Supper. We're involved in something the church has done for over 2,000 years in doing this, celebrating the Lord's Supper, what we call our communion. This is most somber. This is what we need. But I want to ask you, before you start, before I start, you look. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, listen to what it's there. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that it doesn't mean that much to us if we're involved in habitual sin. But let a man examine himself. That's what you're going to do now. When I'm done here, we're going to take a minute and we're going to search our hearts. We're going to confess our sins before God. And have him check us out too. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We've got to do this before we go ahead and have it. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner. That means you're taking it and you have sin that you've been having a habit with. Eats and drinks judgment to himself because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not discerning the goodness of what God has done for us. So let's take that minute and just kind of examine ourselves and have the Lord examine us. All right. Be good reading in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brother Brian, will you offer thanks for the bread?
Yes. Thank you, Heavenly and Gracious Father, for who you are, dear Lord Jesus, for taking on a body, dear Lord, and going to that cross for us, Father. We should pray, dear Lord, for the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom of how great and how deep and how wide and how long your love is for us, dear Lord. It wasn't the Romans that sent you to the cross, Father. It was love that sent you there. And thank you, dear Lord, that you took on that body and went there and died for our sins. And whosoever shall call upon you, Father God, Lord Jesus, shall be saved, it says. And we just thank you for the resurrection, dear Lord, because like Pastor Wally said, without faith, without love, without the resurrection, without hope, there's no salvation. And we're not just saved to escape, but we're saved to serve you. And we just ask, dear Lord, that you search us, Father, and that you forgive us, Father, and that you cleanse us, dear Lord. And we just thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Remember, when you get this, just open the top part where the bread is.